Good evening. It is good to see everyone, and we have a good number that is out, and we have visitors with us, and that's always an appreciated thing. We began studying this morning about the Christian's attitude toward gambling, and before I get into the lesson, I just wanted to mention that I believe pretty much all of those that we have in our shut-in list, we need to say some extra prayers for. All of them except for Miss Mabel was feeling pretty bad and had some rough weeks and everything, and she was the only one that was really chipper and upbeat and everything. And so the others, Miss Pauline Midcap and Miss Rhea Henthorne, was in a lot of pain while we were there. So let's continue to remember them in our prayers and send them a card. I'm sure that they would appreciate that, or go by and for a visit, but make sure you go to Miss Pauline's on an empty stomach, because she's liable to send you out with more food than you can handle. It's kind of like going to see my grandmother whenever we go see her on Sunday afternoons. It's a wonderful thing. Continue to remember them in your prayers and such, because it's a lonely life sometimes. And she has some of them have family close by, but it's still nice to have extra visitors come by and to express concern and such for them. And especially Miss Hazel, she sounded really bad when I talked to her on the phone. You could hear the fluid in her lungs as I was talking to her, just that gurgling. And so hopefully they were able to help out with that this afternoon, but she's still got pneumonia stuff to get over. I don't care how old you are, and she's having a difficult time with it. But as I mentioned, we began talking about gambling this morning, and of course gambling is a top business in the U.S. today. If you look at the various things that go on, and of course it's taken over in television with the World Poker Series Tour and things of that nature that just really draw us in, and we don't really think about the things that are going on and the things that are being supported, and it just looks like a lot of fun and things of that nature, but we don't realize sometimes that the effect that can have upon us as we lower our thoughts about it and begin to think that, well, it's not quite so bad. It's everybody's going into it voluntarily, and that's interesting enough that the gambling and the lottery has oftentimes been called a voluntary tax on the poor, because they are generally the ones who contribute the greatest amount to it, and they are usually the ones that have the least amount to contribute. I was noticing as we were coming back from Miss Pauline's, driving up Route 2, there's this big billboard that has this beautiful little girl on there and says she has a gambling problem. And you think, well, how in the world could a girl, she couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old, have a gambling problem? And then it said underneath, her dad. And so we can see that gambling can affect a large number of people. And it can start out in such an innocent way. And as we're going to look in our lesson this evening, it can grow into much more things. But we could look at all the social ills that come along with gambling, and we could talk about all these things. I was close with a policeman in Shreveport City Police. He was a member of the church there where I was preaching, and he had been on the police force for over 10 years. And that was before the casinos came in. And he said, it's just amazing to see the changes that took place in Shreveport, Louisiana. Since the casinos have come in, all the crimes and the prostitution and all the other things that come in along with it that you don't really think about when people are talking about, well, it's about the jobs, or it's about this, it's about that. It's about raising the income of individuals and such, and it's trying to make life easier on individuals. And it's just, there's nothing further from the truth when you look at the things that are brought in with it. We began this lesson this morning looking at it, a definition of gambling, and it means, the World Book Dictionary defines it as to play games of chance for money or other valuable stakes. We know that there are three elements that are involved in the practice of gambling. It relies upon chance on an uncertain outcome. Something of value is wagered depending upon the outcome of the event. And that which is won is at the direct loss of others. And I also mentioned in the Ten Commandments of gambling, number one is expect to lose. Number three is you will lose in the long run. And number seven is there is no system that can beat a game of pure chance. And so with those things in mind, with what gambling is and what we know to be true about it, we also began to look at how some have the idea, well, what's the harm in gambling? They contend that it's only taking a chance, and life itself is a chance. But gambling is taking a risk upon the chance of the outcome. It would be like betting on who's going to live the longest when you look at life being a chance. The truth is it's placing a wager upon that chance. Others say, well, gambling is oftentimes used for a good cause, to raise money for churches. In fact, whenever you look at what they are usually speaking of, when they try to bring lotteries into a state or they try to bring in certain forms of gambling, is, well, this contributes a large amounts to the educational system. What they don't say is that large amount is funneled out somewhere else. And so the educational system is not getting any more. And I can tell you from personal experience that the educational system still screams out, we need more money. Even though the gambling halls are supposedly helping to support these the educational system. The word, others say, well, the word gambling is not even mentioned in the Bible. We mentioned that this morning, but we also noted that there's a number of other things that we know are wrong that are not mentioned in the Bible. You don't really find rape mentioned in the Bible. We do see rape in the Bible, but the word rape is not found in the Bible. Manslaughter, larceny, suicide, embezzling, all these things are not found in that word. Those words are not used in the Scriptures, but we find the principles of these things, and we find that these things are taught against. And that's what we want to do this evening, is we want to look at what is wrong with gambling. We want to look at the Scriptures and some principles that are found in the Word of God, and see if, you know, should the Christian, should the child of God abstain from all forms of gambling? And I had a couple come in and ask a couple of questions. One young man come in and asked about the games at Chuck E. Cheese's and such, where you risk your quarter on the chance of the outcome of that. And it's not an easy thing to draw. And as Christians, should we just abstain from all forms? And others talked about going on game shows and the gamble that you go. The further you go, we were talking about Deal or No Deal, which is a show that we enjoy watching. And I think really greed comes more into play than gambling, because people push it that money's not theirs. They say it is, but it's not theirs until they walk out the door. But that idea of greed, which plays a big part in gambling, really is something that the Christian would need to be more concerned about in going into something like that. And so what is wrong with gambling is what we're going to look at this evening. And the first thing we want to note is that it is wrong because it denies the integrity of work. We noted that there were three principles in the exchange of funds. If you go back and look that in life, there are three things that we need to look at in how we go about. There's the law of labor, there's the law of exchange, and then there's the law of love. And we need to look at these things and we need to understand them. And we need to fully carry these things. And gambling goes against these things. It denies the integrity of work. That is the law of labor. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 28, the Apostle Paul, in writing to this church of individuals who they had come out of many different things, we can go back and look in the book of Acts, and we can see that many came out of witchcraft and other things, but it also seems that some were thieves. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, Paul said, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." And so we can see that the law of labor is there, set up for mankind. We have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, to render labor, whether it be mental or physical, to render labor for the funds that we receive. And they can make it look as hard as they want, but there is no real work involved in putting a quarter into a slot machine and pulling that one-armed bandit down and waiting to see what the wheels are going to be. You see, in the beginning, God created man to work. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, I know a lot of our youth, not necessarily here, but I'm talking about youth in general, don't like the idea of, well, we were created for work. But in Genesis chapter 2, there in verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to what? To cultivate it, to keep it." If you look at the curses that are made in Genesis chapter 3, there in verse 19, it says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so we can see that man was created with a need to work, to supply for himself. We need to be careful in these things. And when we look at gambling, I think more along the lines of what we read in Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, there, beginning in verse 9, we really see more of the results of the attitude that is involved in gambling. People want to go and they want to win big so that they can retire, so that they can sit back and do nothing. And the wise men wrote in Proverbs chapter 6, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest?" You know, sometimes we might want to say that verse to our kids in the morning, you know. "How long are you going to sleep? When are you going to wake up?" Note what he says in verse 11. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. When we allow ourselves to be caught up in this idea of rest and relaxation and others taking care of us, then we rise to we lower ourselves to a position that no man really wants to go. And when you look at those who go to casinos, those that spend their last $2 or $3 on lottery tickets, or when Powerball is coming in and they go and spend $50 or $100 on 100 tickets in hopes of winning that $100 million or however much it might be, and then they lose. And before long, they're having to go to the payday loans. I once knew a fellow who owned a number of the payday loans across the southern part of the United States, and he said lotteries and casinos were the biggest boon to his business. He was just straightforward and honest in it. You know, these people, they go in, they lose everything, they need something to carry them on to the next paycheck, so they come in and they take out a loan, and then they take oftentimes that loan and go and try to make enough to pay back the loan and to buy groceries, and then they're just really, like we see there in verse 11, "Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there in verse 10, he spoke about the need for man to work and the responsibility that a man had to work. He says in verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." And here we can see that man has been given the responsibility, especially those who are Christians, we have the responsibility to work. We aren't to sponge off of others. And there was a problem in the first century church of those that were going out and just allowing the church to care for them and not doing anything on their own to take care of it. And Paul was saying that this is not the way that we can be. But as gambling, this is the idea of, well, I don't have to work. And they end up losing everything. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, there in verse 8, the Apostle Paul said that if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Or as the King James Version reads there, an infidel. You see, prosperity at the expense of others is not right. And so gambling then does not thrive on honest labor or service rendered, but rather on trying to take, whether by trickery or skill, what does not rightfully belong to the gamblers. We noted this morning, for someone to win, someone else has to lose. And for that fellow who walks out of the casino talking about how he had won $1,000, you've got at least one individual walking out saying, "I lost $1,000. And too many times they don't look at how much they lose, they only keep track of that which they win, and they don't realize that it is no way equal. Another thing that is wrong with gambling is not only that it denies the integrity of work, but it's a dishonest means of transferring money or its equivalent things of value. In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men." And so as Christians, we are to be honest in all of our dealings. We are to treat even those who are not Christians, even those that are around us that perhaps treat us in a poor way, those who treat us in an evil way, we're to return not evil, but good. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. There are three legitimate means of transferring money. The first is the law of labor, whether it be physical or mental, where one actually earns by time and energy expended the money that he receives. You go in, you clock in, and you give a day's work for a day's pay. Now, unfortunately, there are those that kind of go along with the gambling. Well, I go and I show up, but I'm not going to do the work. But I sure do want the pay. And there's a danger in that. But this is not something we find in gambling. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, he said, once again, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And the book of Luke, in the 10th chapter, when Jesus was giving the commandments to those that he was sending out and the commission, and he told them, when you're going out and enter into a city, you enter into a house. And he says in verse 7, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Those that are working, if they're providing a service, whether it be mental or physical, they deserve to receive the correct compensation for those labors. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 4, we won't read all of this for the sake of time, but he's writing about those that are preaching the Word of God and going into foreign lands, and he says, do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? And he talks about the soldiers who goes out at their own expense. No, they're compensated. Unfortunately, our soldiers are not properly compensated, but they are compensated for what they're doing. Who tends a flock and doesn't use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple? And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share with the altar. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. And so whatever way it is that a person is going about working, they, in the law of labor, they have the right to receive money or some sort of an exchange for the labor that they set forth. There's also the law of exchange, in which a commodity is exchanged for its value in money, buying and selling. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a couple of parables there in verses 44 through 46, and it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. There's the law of exchange. Or again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. There's the law of exchange. As you look further in Matthew chapter 25, there in verse 27, in the parable of the talents, the one talent is rebuked because he says, then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest, making that exchange. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 36, we have the Lord saying, but now whoever has a money belt is to take it along. Likewise also a bag. Remember in the earlier commission, he said, don't take money, don't take anything. You go out, whatever you need, it will be provided for you. But here he's saying, exchange these things that you do have so that you will have the finances that you need. The law of exchange. And there's also the law of love. In the law of love, something is given without any desire or expectation of anything in return. In Romans chapter 13, there in verse 10, the Apostle Paul said that love does no wrong to a neighbor. In Ephesians 4, verse 28, remember that we read there, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor. Why? So that he can share with one who has need. In the early church, we can see in Acts chapter 2, there in verse 45, that they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29, we read of this law of love being carried out in practice in the proportion that any of the disciple had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. Now, here's the three laws, the law of love, the law of labor, and the law of exchange. How does any of those fall with gambling? Oh, the person who does the winning, he loves those who lose, doesn't he? Or he might do some giving, but he expects something in return, doesn't he? And he's not giving an honest day's work for that pay that he's receiving. He's hoping to go in there and to do nothing and get something in return. And he's not exchanging anything for that. Whether it be matching for coats, and if you don't know what that is, that shows your age. But whatever it might be, pitching pennies. Remember, the size of the wager is not the sin. It is the wager itself. Another thing that is wrong with gambling is that it is stealing from another by mutual consent. In other words, you have all these people going in to a casino or whatever. They're saying, take what you want. I don't care. Now, that's not really what they don't want it to be taken from them. They want to take it from someone else. But the minute you walk through that door and put your money down, you agree that someone else can take it from you. Just like euthanasia is murder. The doctor takes another's life with his consent. Gambling takes food, clothes, and other blessings from the gambler's family. Remember when I talked about that billboard? And that poor little girl with a gambling problem who was her father, she was not getting to eat. She was not getting what she needed because dad was going out and giving up all of the family finances so that he could win big at Blackjack 21 or Texas Hold'em or whatever it might be that he was wanting to play. In Ephesians 4, verse 28, remember, as we've read a couple of times already, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. That's how we are to obtain our finances for this world. That's what we're to do in giving somebody something for that which we get in return, not just taking from them. Another thing that we need to understand about gambling is that it is contrary to the letter and spirit of Christianity. In Acts chapter 20, there in verse 35, the Apostle Paul says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now gambling is more blessed to receive than to give. You always want to come out with more than you went in with, don't you? You don't go into a gambling hall hoping. Now, you may go in there with the expectation of coming out with less money, but you go in there with the expectation of hoping to get more money. But here, the letter and spirit of Christianity is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Gambling compromises one's influence. You know, if nothing else, if all the things that are connected with gambling, that alone should cause the child of God to abstain from all forms of it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we're told to let our light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, when we go into a casino, are we glorifying God? When we come out a big winner and people are going, oh, that was great, are we glorifying God or are we glorifying our ability to count cards or things of that nature? In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, he says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Understand, we are to be different from the world. The world desires more, and we should be willing to make sacrifices. We should be willing to present our lives as a holy, acceptable sacrifice unto God. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. Look over, if you would, in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 21. It says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. What's the biggest thing that you can do in poker to try to win, besides getting, a royal flush? Bluffing. The biggest point in poker or blackjack or anything is trying to get them to think you've got something better than you really have. But we're to be like Christ. Well, to be a good poker player, you've got to have a good poker face. In other words, you've got to be able to deceive. And so we can see once again that this is something that is going completely and totally against the letter and spirit of Christianity. We cannot claim to be Christians and keep company with the worldly influences that are associated with gambling. Another problem with gambling is that it encourages laziness and indolence. Men and women who set out on a career of gambling shun honest labor and become parasites. You ever watch the old TV show Maverick? James Garner, good fun show. But he wasn't really bringing anything into the towns that he went into except for a desire to take money with him. He didn't really add anything to society. And when you look at the gamblers of the Old West, they were oftentimes just loafing around at Miss Kitty's saloon or something of that nature, playing cards. They weren't out working with the cows. And actually, I mean, you look at their hands, they were nice, soft hands and never had worked a day's labor. That's the way we find most today. But once again, as we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look again in verse 10. Paul said, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." Remember what we read in Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 9, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? But your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." Ever wonder why casinos stay open 24 hours? People go and they sleep all day long and then they go in there and they try to lose everything all night long. They're there so that whenever somebody decides to wake up, they can come and they can lose their money. They can lose their shirt. They can lose their family. Gambling encourages laziness and indolence. I've actually heard Christians, those who claim to be Christians, say if I could just win the lottery, I'd go forward the next day and repent and I could retire. She was in her late 20s, early 30s. And she wanted to sit around and do nothing. She didn't want to go to work. You see how gambling, even the lottery, encourages indolence and laziness? Another problem with gambling is that it is a form of idolatry. Covetousness is a major reason why people gamble. They want more than they have and they don't want to do the work that's necessary to get it. And so they're going to try and take the shortcuts. Colossians chapter 3, there in verse 5. Note what the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed," which what? "Which amounts to idolatry." That's the biggest problem with America today. We don't follow after Zeus. We don't follow after Ra. We don't follow after all these Greek and Roman gods. We follow after the God of the almighty American dollar. We bow down in praise to it. We'll do anything in the world for it. We'll lie. We'll cheat. We'll steal just so we can have more of it and all the glory that comes along with it. Greed, which amounts to idolatry. That's the sole reason why people gamble, because they want more money. Another problem with gambling is that it encourages irresponsible stewardship. You see, we need to understand that everything that we have is in reality the Lord's. It all belongs to Him. We must remember that all blessings that we earn come from God. David speaks of this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you would turn over there with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's begin reading there in verse 10. It says, "So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty and indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all, both riches and honor come from thee. And thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee." David understood that all the things that he had, all the might of his kingdom, all the glory and power that was his, came from God. All the glory, power, and might, and the riches of the Israelite nation came from God. He said, "We're just giving you back that which is already yours. For all things come from you." In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we are told that we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, this is written primarily speaking of the spiritual gifts that we receive from God. We have a responsibility to use them and to add to them and to grow in them. But the principle follows through with the things that God has blessed us with. We've got to use them properly. And you know, you do just as much good to take the $10, $20, $30 that you want to go and put on the lottery so you can win the Powerball, to just take it, light a match, set it on fire. You got just as much chance of that fire coming out of a $1,000 bill as you do to win the lottery. Now, can we say that that is being proper stewards of the things that God has given us? We need to understand that we will give an account for all of how we use our financial resources. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, we're told to render to all that is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Well, what happens when you go and you lose all your money at the casino? Well, you don't get to pay your bills. A Christian is one who should do all that they can to make sure that they pay those that they owe, that they render that which is due to those that they should be paying. And so we can see that gambling encourages irresponsible stewardship. And the final thing we want to talk about this evening is that gambling is addictive. If that were not the case, then they would not have all these billboards out there around the casinos and the various places that say, have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or whatever it might be. Gambling is addictive. Addiction, no matter what it's to, is a sin. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 24, said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and mammon, as other translations read there. An addiction is something that has control over your life. Something that makes you do things that you know you shouldn't ought to be doing. An addiction is a master. And when you allow yourself to become addicted to gambling or other things, you take away God as being your master. And you cannot serve two masters. We need to understand and remind ourselves that we are to be separate from the world, not addicted to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there in verse 17, it says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, we read that we are to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We're to be different from the world. God is over us, not the cares of this world. Our Lord warned of the danger that is inherent in desires for material things and allowing these things to rule over us. In Matthew chapter 19, there in verse 23, He said, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And of course, this puzzled many. And they asked Him, if a rich man can't, who can? And there you can see how we place such high things upon riches. And we get caught up in these things. And Jesus said, with man is it impossible, but with God all things are possible. Paul taught the Colossian brethren to put aside all these things, consider them as dead. Timothy was told about the love of money. Turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's read verses 5 through 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Paul writes here, he says, in constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a mean of gain, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich, and that's why people gamble, they want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, money itself is not wrong. It's not the root of all evil. A lot of times you'll hear people, they'll misquote this passage of Scripture and say, money is the root of all evil. No, there's nothing wrong with money. That love of it, that constant desire for it, that willingness to do anything to get more of it. Love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Yes, gambling is not mentioned in the Bible. But we can find principles that teach that man is to do work. That he is to earn the money that he has to provide for his family. That he has a responsibility to care for his family first and foremost, not his inordinate desires to have more wealth. Gambling is something that a child of God cannot take part in. And this goes from the highest, going up and being a high roller in a casino, gambling hundreds of thousands of dollars on a couple of roll of the dice or a couple of cards laid on the table, to going out and spending a dollar on that lottery ticket, or walking into Walmart and, would you like to buy a raffle ticket? It's all the same. It's all something that is sinful in the sight of God. It's all seeking to gain at the loss of someone else. If you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, now is the time that has been offered to you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. To come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To repent of your sins and be buried in baptism. But perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. Perhaps, maybe through ignorance, you've taken part in things that you should not have done. You've taken part in the lottery and raffles or in various sports betting that might occur in the office, thinking, oh, it's just a dollar here or there. It's not that big of a deal. Remember, it is not the size of the wager that is sinful. It is the wager itself. If that is a sin that you are guilty of, then you need to repent of those things and be returned to the Lord. Perhaps there are other sins that you have in your life. Now is a time that has been given to you, and there's no guarantee of any other if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, whether it be to return to the Lord or to turn your life over to Him. Do so now as we stand and as we sing.